Hi, this is Jen Pham and so are you, and welcome to Pham Yee,
a space where we support each other and invite you along the journey.
Hi!
We're back!
The last one we did was with our boys.
Yeah.
And this time we wanted to start the episode off with some quickies. We had a couple questions that, you know, everyone was curious about, and here we are. So I guess we'll start with the first one.
How is it like to work with a friend as a coworker?
Yeah, you want to go?
Okay. This is a funny question to me because they say never work with a friend.
Yeah.
Or a family.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm surprised that it's worked out really well with us.
I think honestly. So too. I think it's also, it didn't work out when we were younger because we weren't at the place that we said we were at. And we weren't ready to take on this project. But this time around, we're both in
like a good spot.
We're in a good place. And I think being friends and co-working, you give each other more grace.
We give each other a lot of grace. We're very, I think that's key, understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're very open to each other's, like, opinions, you know, like options and things like that. I don't think we've ever shut each other down.
No, and I think it's also, we made it very clear what our expectations are for this project.
That's true, too.
Because we both said, like, this is what we want to do, why we want to do it, and how committed we want it to be. So if you're not on the same commitment level as friends doing something on a passion project, I think it's very difficult to get along because you might think, oh, they care more or I care more and someone's not pulling the weight. Yeah. But because we're both on the same page, I think it's super easy. Luckily. Yeah.
We set the foundation early.
Yeah.
And the way we work together works really well because we do different tasks.
Yeah, like, true.
There are areas you're good in that I'm not, and areas that I may be better at that you're not. Like, the organizational aspect of our whole business, girl, that's all you.
I think it's just because I come from a corporate background. I'm like, let me just clean things up because it's making me go a little crazy. But I think it, all in all, we're pretty happy where we're at. So, we're lucky. It's been working out the past quarter now.
Mm-hmm. We've made it to 3 months. That's crazy.
I'm so happy.
I know, me too. I'm proud of us.
Yeah. I can't believe, though, when we started this, I didn't know how far we would get. And, like, I guess because you don't know when your passion project's over or when how long it's going to lead to. And, yeah, I'm really happy and proud of us, too. Yeah,
me too. Especially with everything going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
A lot of things going on. Okay, second question. Okay.
Why don't we post our baby's face online?
On
social media.
You go first. I mean, I could go first, but what if you, like, my reasons or your reasons?
It might be the same thing. I don't know.
Okay.
Mine is, like, one, she's too young to have her full face put online.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just so many things out there now. Maybe it's, I'm a skeptic person, but I'm just trying to protect my kid's innocence and protect her energy.
Yeah.
When she's not even old enough to even enter that world in the first place.
She doesn't even know how to hold a bottle.
She doesn't know how to hold a bottle. Yeah. You know, like, she learned how to smile this week.
Aww.
Like, that's it. I just think she's just too young. Like, what's the point of me putting it out there? And I just don't know what someone else is going to do with it.
Right.
That's
and when did you and Alex decide that?
Oh, early on.
Okay.
We were like, we don't want to post her face. It's not like I'm like, if it happens to get posted, it's not, I'm like, oh my God, the world is ending, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But to the best of our ability, for as long as we can, that's what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mine, well, Ka and I, we decided, I was the one who wasn't really on board.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was like, we can't post our baby's face. You know, all the effed up things people do with the internet. And I was like, no, But so he was just saying, like, yeah, I don't want to post our baby's face, like, that she could get kidnapped. He was already talking about this before we even knew the gender. And so I was like, okay, fine. Like, I guess we'll compromise. And the compromising is no.
Yeah, I was like, there's no compromise. You said okay.
Well, because to me, it's like, if one of us doesn't feel comfortable, then the answer is no. If there's one no out of both of us, then it's always going to be a no. And if it's two yeses, then it'll always be a yes. But if one person says no, then our team's response is no.
Okay.
And so when he said that, I didn't know how much I would have appreciated that decision going after postpartum. You're already in this, I mean, it's a perfect segue into our episode, but you're already in this, like, very emotional state. And if anyone said anything ugly about my baby that didn't have a choice to be here, that didn't have a choice to choose what he or she looked like, and you're going to comment negative things, like, if I can protect it, I will.
Mm-hmm.
And so, one, that was one of the reasons, personally for me, that I appreciated not posting Kylo. But two, another reason I am still a fan is that there's so many people online that I don't even talk to anymore. Like, we're Facebook friends since middle school, and, you know, I've moved so much and all these things. It's like, why do these people need to, like, they don't have the privilege to see my son.
That's what, yeah, same.
And it is a privilege to see a super happy child, and seeing their innocence is, it's just such an honor. And to me, it's like, if you cared about him at all, then you would make the time, or I would make the time, and we would make the time. But you don't know him, so why do you need to see what he looks like?
Yeah.
And then my third reason is, like, they're going to be in a world, this generation, Gen Alpha, is going to be in a world where they're going to be exposed to so much internet, so much everything. So why should I expose him early? It just doesn't, it's like, you're gonna be exposed anyway. I don't know when your dad and I are gonna decide, okay, you can have a social media, but by then you're going to have a social media. You can post yourself. I also know, like, lawsuits are coming out for, you know, parents that have been mommy influencers, daddy influencers, and the children wants their videos or photos deleted because that has exposed something super embarrassing that could cause any trauma. And if I can, like, you know, just try not to do any trauma to my child, I will. So it's like, okay, I'm not gonna, you know, I didn't post anything inappropriate because your face wasn't even on there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, like, my personal three reasons besides, you know, safety.
Yeah, safety. A lot of the things you said, I agree with, for sure. And then the whole thing with, like, consent, you know, like, just being able to consent to their face out there. Also, if someone else wanted to use their face for a reason without their consent, like, that's one thing. But yeah, just overall, the world, it's inevitable that they're going to be online.
Yeah.
So let me just try to protect them for as long as I can. And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And AI is going to be super crazy because Kyle keeps on sending me AI commercial videos on, like, how you can ruin your child's life.
With their face?
Yeah. So you post them as a young kid, but then the AI would use their face and make them older and then put them into, like, weird, inappropriate scenes in the future. So it's technically not their face.
Yeah.
But then when they grow to be that face, then they're already exposed and people think that's them, but it's not.
Yeah, we just live in such a crazy world. That's, like,
such a crazy commercial. But I was like, oh my gosh, is this what it's gonna happen? So I'd rather just not.
Yeah, same. It's a good segue into our topic for today.
Yes.
Postpartum.
Yeah.
It's a lot of things to talk about postpartum.
Okay, yes. Okay, so postpartum is the stage following childbirth. So that's a lot. It's a lot of stages. So do you want to start what yours was like?
Okay, I guess we can start with unexpected challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So what were the surprises and realities of new motherhood that may not have been obvious before having a baby? Unexpected challenges is about this. Okay, I agree. Loneliness is such a real thing of postpartum. Yeah. Even though you have so many people in your corner and you have this new life, it's so lonely.
It's so lonely.
Like, you could be going, like you, you're going through the same thing. You know, you had a kid. But even that, like, couple months apart from us, I think made us just be in very different stages of our child's life. And those months, like, make a drastic difference, especially in the earlier stages, you know? Like, being in survival mode right now, when you're moving on to, like, your teething period. Mm-hmm. And that's stressful in itself. And it's just not feeling like you can... You have people to talk to, but you're
not
also...
Not really.
You're just, like, battling this thing inside of you. And also, it's something new. Mm-hmm. So it's just so many things going on that just make you feel like you're alone and no one else can understand kind of feeling. Two is relational aspect. I didn't realize, like, no matter how good... I think me and Alex were great. You know, we backed each other so much. We do our best to give grace and stuff, but it is a challenging period. Your hormones, it throws a wrench into your life. And no matter how good it is, it can still knock your relationship off course a bit.
Yeah.
So getting the roommate stage was something I wasn't really prepared for, because I was like, oh, we're never going to get there. We're always going to have this spark, you know, like I'm always going to jump your bones. And I didn't realize that, like, I'm so tired. I have, my boobs are being used, like, as, like a cow. I'm being milked every day to feed this kid. And I don't want to be touched. I don't have the energy. And so naturally, when that keeps going, you just kind of get in this flow of, like a roommate.
Yeah.
A bit. Yeah. So those are things I was not prepared for.
I will agree with you. Those lonely nights are no joke. Because during the day, yeah, you have company. People come over. Yeah. They want to see baby. But it's at the nighttime where we were taking turns. And I know you guys are taking turns. So first of all, you're not with your partner. Mm-hmm. You're just with your baby. No one else is online. No one else. If you're phone while you're feeding, you have no one to talk to. So one of the posts that I read, and it just happened to be on my feed, so I was like, God's listening, or he's watching over me, said there's so many parents awake with you at this time. You don't need to feel alone. And I thought that was a really sweet post, because if you really think about it, there's so many parents awake at every 2 hours. So just having that thought, like, hey, I really am not alone. And luckily for me, I still had cousins and long distance friends that were still breastfeeding and pumping in the middle of the night. So they were still talking to me and I didn't feel too alone, because it was kind of like, okay, now baby fell asleep, but I can't fall asleep.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So then you're just laying there and your Amazon cart is just add. Oh, and then you're just like, okay, anything to make me go to sleep, you know? But
no,
that's really what the maternity stage is kind of like when you're at home.
And in the daytime.
Yeah.
So, because Kyle went back to work really early, right? So you're home majority of the day, just you and baby.
Yep.
And you're not always having company. I didn't always have company around. And there's just so much you can say to a baby without having someone else just talk to you, like another human, like, communication. And when you're on maternity leave, everyone else is at work.
Yeah, that's true.
So you cannot call everyone during the day because they're in meetings, they're literally doing their job.
Yes.
And you're like, all right, well, I'm just at home. Let me just watch Netflix.
I guess I'll go on a walk.
It's just so much time. time to yourself and your own thoughts.
Yes.
And it gets exhausting sometimes.
And you're really on baby mode. Yeah. Because you want to speak to your baby in this, like, super high-pitched voice. And it's just like, please, let me just talk to an adult. Please, like.
I have to remind myself to try to talk to her in a normal voice.
And I think it's okay to not talk to your baby in a high-pitched voice, but I think everyone's just so prone to doing that. And anyway, when I came back to the corporate world, everyone's like, oh, did you miss your baby? Or do you miss your baby? Is today a hard day for you? And I'm like, thank God I'm back. I can't be a stay-at-home mom. That's not me. I was struggling being a stay-at-home mom during maternity leave. Luckily, they gave me a couple extra weeks after my leave. But dang, it was like, I'm been ready to go back. Why did you guys keep on giving me extra weeks? Like, they say, like, the stage is gonna be short, and I definitely agree, but I am the complete opposite, where I'm like, the stage was short, that was amazing. I love watching him learn, and watching the joy on his face, learning is just, that makes me the happiest. So even if he's growing out of one stage and going to another, I'm like, I'm so happy, it's fine. But yeah, that was one of my things where I was like, I can't be this stay-at-home mommy. I can't hang.
See, okay, so I always thought I was the same.
Yeah.
But I think I realized I had so much anxiety leaving her.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think we, on our first date out, all we could talk about was her.
Yeah.
Like, when we're trying to, like, you know, get out of the house, get out of, like, mom and dad mode, enjoy some time to ourselves, I could not. I was thinking about her. All we did was talk about her, and I just had so much anxiety.
Wait, so how far along postpartum are you now?
I'm 8 weeks.
Okay,
I'm 8 weeks, 2 months postpartum. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that was in month one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when we went out, and I was like,
That's so understandable.
I don't want to leave.
I think it's, you don't realize it, but when you were pregnant, you were with her for 10 months.
Yeah.
And she never left your side because she was always with you all the time. And then the moment you leave her, you're like, wow, this is my first time away from her for what? A year?
That's true.
Being side by side, mommy and me. So I just try to keep that in mind, like, whenever I have to leave him.
It gets easier. You have to do it. You have to.
There's no way I could do it. Like, I mean, yeah. And the first time my parents took care of Kylo overnight, that everyone kept on checking in on me. Kyle kept on asking, like, hey, are you okay? And I'm like, wow, it's so nice to just, like, not be on go mode.
Yeah.
Because you're on go mode. Like, at any moment, your master's going to be calling you. Your master's going to call you. You're like, okay, let me get up and do whatever you need. So it was just nice to just, like, breathe.
Yeah.
So it is nice that time away. It's like, obviously, you miss them more. And so.
For sure.
Yeah, it wasn't hard for me at all. at that stage, he was already, like, around 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
So it was further along. I don't think I could have done that, like, earlier. And my mom came to stay with us the first week.
That must have been so helpful.
It was so helpful. But the thing is, I'm still waking up. I hear him cry in the other room. I'm milking because I hear him cry. So then I'm like, okay. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about this.
Speaking of crying, her cry is stuck in my head all the time.
So you're just, like, paranoid?
I'm paranoid. So even when she's not at home, I hear her crying. And I'm like, okay, I have to remind myself, she's not at home with me right now. She's at her grandparents. Like, it's fine. But her cry is stuck in my, like, ear.
Yeah. How are you going to get over that?
I don't know. It's just there forever.
Until her cries change.
Yeah. It's just there. I just hear that little... It's not even a hard cry. It's just a little,
Yeah.
And I'm like, where is she?
Exactly. Okay. Well, going back to that unexpected challenge, your milk coming in.
Oh.
My experience, I know, is way different than your experience, I'm sure.
Yeah, because mine was, okay, for one thing, one advice I would have, if you're at the hospital, just get all the information you can about breastfeeding and about pumping and about just doing formula if that's your choice too. Mm-hmm. Like, I wish I had asked them about all stages or all mm-hmm. options. And because at the hospital, I thought I was going to breastfeed. So yeah. that's what I was doing. And they would give me advice on how to breastfeed and how to do this. I didn't learn anything about pumping. Mm. And then we did like a little bit of formula. But even then, I didn't learn much about formula either. Yeah. Then I got home and the colostrum, so the first milk part stops and then your mature milk starts coming in and that's mm-hmm. when it starts hurting. So like I felt all my milk coming at once and I had no idea what it was.
You're like, this whole time I thought that was my milk.
Yeah.
And now it's like, what is this?
Yeah. So I wasn't prepared for it. Mm-hmm. So for a couple hours, I was crying because it hurt so bad. It was so hard. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is this? Like, what do I do? Like, the baby's asleep. She's not eating. Like, I was just crying. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize this is what I needed to pump. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to pump, so I had to go YouTube everything and stuff like that. But I just wish I had known the information ahead of time because you would look at it and be like, oh, it's so simple. Like, what do you mean?
No, it's not.
You're not thinking about it.
The pumps are so hard.
The pumps are hard. You don't realize this is what you have to do. It's the first time you're doing anything. Mm-hmm. And you're exhausted. And you're already stressed out about the baby waking up or whatever. If you're doing things right. You just don't know. Mm-hmm. And so I wish I had asked more.
So the day after Kyla was born, I did meet with the lactation consultant at the hospital, because when you're at the OB office, I asked them there and they're like, well, we don't have one here, so you have to wait until you go to the hospital. And I'm like, well, I'm gonna pump too because I know I have to go back to work, so I know I can't breastfeed him when I go back to work. And they're like, yeah, just bring your pump with you. And I'm like, oh, okay. First of all, the pump manual to put it together is so hard. I don't know why it's so hard. I literally had to have a friend come over, her FaceTime her sister in a different state to educate me on the pump parts. Because it was just, why is it hard for no reason? And then the flange, which is the part that's the attachment to your nipple, there's different sizes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so my friend's sister was saying like, oh yeah, Jen, so you're going to have to get the lactation consultant to measure your nipple size. And so I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, because usually the standard size is too big for most moms. So first of all, why would you guys give us a standard size that's like 80% too big for moms? I didn't understand that. Then I was like, okay, so I have to order the perfect nipple size when I'm at the hospital. Like, it just didn't make any sense to me. But that's what I did because I didn't have a lactation consultant. I didn't have anyone that could help me measure my nipple so that because if it's too big, then it'll hurt. If it's too small, then you're gonna get clogged. So it's like, you have to have the perfect size. And then, so it was just like this weird situation. Then it goes to, now I'm leaving and they're like, this is colostrum. So this is how you're going to, you know, collect your colostrum. Great. We go to the pediatrician's office on day 4 of Kyla being born. She's like, the doctor goes, yeah, you're going to know when your milk comes in. And I was like, how do you know? She's like, you are just going to know. First of all, that's the only warning I got. What the F is that warning? Then I go home after that and we had to go right back to the emergency room. So we're at the ER, Children's Hospital, for Kylo because he has super bad jaundice. Yeah. Day 4 of him being alive, I've been a mom for 4 days now, and I'm back at the hospital. We're sitting in an emergency room from 7 p.m. to 5 in the morning, and they are giving him a million shots. Like, I said a million, but they gave him 7 shots. They had an IV team try to IV a four-day-old. And so he's crying, and this is when my milk comes in. So when they say you'll know when your milk comes in, that means a waterfall of milk. Your your boobs, this is super explicit, but your boobs are now enlarged. They become rock hard because they're full, and then they don't have a place to go. And they, your brain thinks your baby is hungry because my baby is crying. My baby's crying because people are giving him shots. And so then now and he's constantly crying. I'm now crying, being hormonal, don't want them to poke him. They can't find his veins. So that's why they continuously poke him. And it got to a point where I'm like, I need you to stop. Like, we need to have a different plan. Like, do not, like, give him another shot. Because you guys clearly cannot find his vein. It's like seven times now. How many times are you going to keep on pricking my baby? And I'm crying, he's crying, and my shirt is completely wet. I'm wearing a hoodie. My hoodie is completely wet. I am on a wet t-shirt contest in the hospital, in the emergency room. They don't have a room for us. And so we're just kind of stuck in this limbo. And this is what it means when your milk comes in. I would strongly suggest any moms out there to have like milk catchers with you that entire first week, because you don't know when it's going to come. If your body just comes naturally. I would strongly suggest you have anything to catch your milk, because it is like treasure. Yes, and so it's like I'm just losing all this milk and I can't even do anything. And that's what it felt like, my milk coming in. I don't even want to start with like clogged ducts, because that's like
a whole other story.
It's just so hard, but it's just really hard. I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for milk coming in.
I was not ready for the milk coming in. I was not ready for the breastfeeding journey. When that happened, I thought I was gonna stop breastfeeding and go full formula. Mm-hmm. Also, that I didn't realize how much of an emotional turmoil that was gonna be on me. I felt so guilty. Mm-hmm. And I called you, and I was crying for hours because I had so much guilt that I could not provide breast milk for my child when that was what my body was made to do. Mm-hmm. And it just made me feel like I was a failure, you know? Like, it made me feel like I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And so that journey was hard emotionally, and then physically it hurt.
It hurt so bad.
Yeah.
Like, the skin off of your nipples come off and you like shed like a snake and you get new skin because you need to have tough nipple skin to deal with a hungry infant.
Yeah, I couldn't do breastfeeding.
It was so hard. It was like, what's going on? What is going on? This is so painful.
Which the doctor was like, it shouldn't hurt if you're doing it right. And I'm like, no, he's latched. You even told me he's latched on right and it hurts.
Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts. Yeah, that was one of the things where I was like, not ready for. Okay.
We'll probably come up with more unexpected challenges on the way, but
yeah,
for preparation for postpartum.
I knew, maybe I was just a Lulu, but I knew I wasn't going to have postpartum depression.
Because that's great.
I wanted him so bad. I wanted my baby so bad. I would have done anything that last 5 weeks to kick him out earlier.
Yeah.
So it was like, I was so over pregnancy. I would have done anything to have my baby outside of my body. So for him to be outside, and no matter how exhausted I was, that is what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And so I was definitely like biting my tongue and just like, I'm going to eat shit, literally, and just deal with this stage, and then everything's gonna be okay, because this is what I wanted. I would have done anything not to be pregnant anymore, and that's like where my mentality was at. So I knew I wasn't going to be depressed because I am so happy for him to be outside. But I'm gonna be completely honest, I don't know if I'm gonna feel like that the second baby. I don't know if I have that the confidence that's how I'm gonna feel. Like, yes, this is what I prayed for, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And it's so different. You never know what.
And you don't know when depression's gonna kick in. Mm-hmm.
That was one, but you also wrote it down. Can you really prepare for postpartum? And what? No, I don't think Mm-mm. you can. I had a lot of advice on preparing for what my body was going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very prepared mentally about, you know, loving my body. I loved being pregnant for the most part. And mm-hmm. I was just like, you know what? This is what my body is supposed to look like. This is how it is. I'm growing mm-hmm. a child, you know, like I'm going to love myself physically. And after I kept that mindset. So I think physically I was better in, but I was not prepared for the hormones mm-hmm. that came with postpartum. I did not keep my mouth shut. I did not swallow shit. I said everything. I complained about everything. Like, you do. You are so strong for doing that because I think I entered a very negative place. And postpartum hit me like a truck. And it's an up and down thing. Like, mm-hmm. some days I'm like, oh, I feel good today. You know, I think I'm getting better. And then the next day I'm like, I fell off cloud nine. Like, I am mm-hmm. depressed. I'm crying. The world is failing. And the only thing that makes me happy is looking at my kid's face.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. But other than that, postpartum's hard.
Yeah, I definitely think it's really hard because
I wish people talked about it more. Like, in terms yeah. of that aspect, I hear so much about pregnancy, labor, yeah. and taking care of the kid. Mm-hmm. But I didn't hear much about the transition from all that, mm-hmm. you know? So,
and I think it goes vice versa for our partners too, because I watch Ka go in a very, very bad place after yeah. baby.
Yeah, guys go through postpartum too.
Yeah, because they don't really experience being pregnant, obviously. Yeah. And they don't know, they don't feel the kicks because you know what happens when daddy touches the tummy, they stop. Baby stops. So that's usually what happens. It's like this big warm hand and I'm gonna stop. That's not mommy's hand. So then now it's like he didn't experience like, okay, this is my baby now on day one. And then he's like struggling. He is super struggling. So I think for me, it was like I had to be strong emotionally mm-hmm. for not just me, but him too. Okay. Because he didn't do well with the no sleep and he's still not doing great with no sleep. But I'm trying to be our rock in that standpoint because we can't, like, we're a team. We're only as weak as the strongest, like we're only as strong as our weakest player. So we both got to be on the same page and pick up each other at that place. So I know Alex definitely did that for you.
Oh, Alex did that for me. But I was like, not his rock.
I think like one of us has to be the rock yeah. when it comes to that postpartum, because I didn't realize I was going to have to be his emotional support during that time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I wasn't prepared for that. Because mm-hmm. we were so excited mm-hmm. that I was like, oh, he's just as happy as me. But it was different. And even now, like, you know, we're pregnant again. And he tells me, he's like, I keep on telling myself, this is Jen's dream. I'm going to do it. This is Jen's dream. This is what Jen's always wanted. And like, I'm making her dreams come true. But like, to me, it's like, oh my gosh, like, is he going to be in another bad place when second baby comes? Mm-hmm. And how are we going to prepare for that? Because now I'm going to have to be there for not only him, but two others.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, I don't know what it's going to be like this next baby, but just doing our best. Because I don't think everyone always, obviously the mom went through a lot of trauma, but the husband did too.
Yeah.
And it is tough. It is tough, like, to just think that. They're thinking, like, I have to provide. I want to be there for them emotionally. I have to be that rock. I can't share because I can't even say anything after what my wife went through.
That part, yeah.
It's just, like, I can't complain. I got to, like, just bite my tongue and deal with
it. Yeah, I feel like took a toll. Yeah, yeah. When I'm the one speaking, and I'm sure it was hard for him to speak up and, you know, for Cotton. You seem like you're doing amazing, honestly. It's really hard.
Yeah.
And with your emotions flaring.
Dude, I don't know. I'm super emotional. I could cry. I cried 3 times yesterday.
Like, I'm in awe right now because I don't know how you did it. Like, for the life in me, I've tried to remind myself to keep calm, and I tried to remind myself, but sometimes I was just a raging bitch.
I mean, it's different babies, definitely. You had a girl, so your emotions probably were, like, super heightened versus boy emotions.
Bless his soul. Like, I am so grateful Because he held the house down.
Yeah.
And he still does. And
yeah.
I had to go back to therapy.
It's like, dang, that's how you know it was so bad.
I was like, okay, it got to a point where I was like, okay, like, this is hard for both of us. Let me help me and you out and go get some help elsewhere.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Like, ooh, it was a doozy.
This is tough. Okay, so with the healing process, I didn't know, and no one tells you, that you're going to be bleeding forever after the baby.
Did they tell you you can't walk up and down the stairs?
No, they didn't say nothing.
Oh, what? Did it hurt walking up and down the stairs?
Yeah.
For the first week or two, at least?
Like, yeah, it did. Sore. Oh, so what was your tear level? Did they tell you? No.
I had a tear, but it was minimal.
Okay, so I had a tear level 2. Don't know what that means, but they said this is super normal and average for moms. But they still stitched me.
Yeah.
So with that, I didn't, I've heard horror stories, like, you know, your stitches can come apart. So I was like, okay, no sex, nothing. Like, I didn't want anything to hurt me more than it was already hurting. But the bleeding lasts longer than a month. And you know what they give you, or they gave me at least? They gave me 900 milligrams of ibuprofen to walk away from. I thought I was gonna get like this life-saving medicine to help. Yeah, I just thought that they were gonna give me life-changing medicine and it was gonna help, but nope, just some ibuprofen. It did help though. Not gonna lie, it did help. But that was something I wasn't prepared for, the healing process after. And I thought that I could lay on my stomach to sleep again, but I couldn't. Because then I kept on milking the bed with my boobs. So I had to sleep with a towel because it was just like leaking every night.
Oh yeah, I put the pads for your nipples.
Yeah.
I wore those every night and it still bled through.
Yeah, me too. So I just gave up. I was just like, whatever. Everything smells like baby right now.
Oh, yeah. You stay smelling like a baby.
Oh, wait. The moment after labor and the next day, I had this odor and I was like, oh, maybe that's what Kylo smells like. He kind of stinks, like musty. And I thought that was him. It was me. And so, and then Kyle was like, oh, I actually read about, like, you know, the mom's odor changes just so that baby can find you. I'm like, so I have to stink? I literally immediately took a shower.
I stunk when I was pregnant.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, my BO was like crazy when I was pregnant. I smelled like a man. No, like,
seriously. I never smelled you like a man.
Well, I did. And Alex told me that too. Like, I didn't usually get BO like that, but it was pretty bad.
Yeah. Okay. Is it better now?
Yeah, actually, it's better now.
Okay, good. Okay, well,
we're gonna jumble up self-care and support system essentials.
Yeah, you go.
Well, tips on prioritizing self-care and finding moments. I would say a big thing is asking for help. Mm-hmm. And this is an issue that I had with myself too. Like, it was so hard for me to ask for help. But you know what? You just got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And being honest. Like, yeah. A huge tip is just be honest about where you're at. Like, the people who love you will understand. And it just speaking it out loud helps. Like, for a long time, everyone asked, like, how are you? How are you doing? And I would be like, oh, I'm good. I'm good. And I would be crying as I'm saying it. But, like, I would be hiding my cry. So if someone called me, I would mute myself and, like, you know, cry it out or, like suck it up and then unmute and be like, yeah, I'm good, you know? Like, and I did that a couple of times, especially to my mom. And I don't know what it is. You just don't want to seem like,
yeah,
you want to feel like you're doing a good job kind of thing. And I guess try to validate myself, but if anything, that just killed me more. I was just crying in silence.
And I'm sure she knew.
I'm sh- Well, when I opened up to her about it, she didn't realize because I was doing so good of a job, like
hiding
it. I think I had depression and silence for a while. So
that's tough.
That's tough. And finding, I think getting ready helps. Like it was facial, like skincare routine. I was a big person on skincare routine prior, and I had no time for that after. Because, you know, like when you wake up, they're about to wake up. Like somehow they just hear, they know you're a mom's up. It's time for me to be up. And, but just finding little pockets, like then we would do, like we would have shifts and having Alex take over, like that was a self-care in itself. Like just him having her for a bit, let me just work on my thing, let me do my thing, decompress. Taking a shower, girl, is so hard.
Yeah.
Like I would hear her crying while I'm in the shower, then you gotta wrap that up real fast. So I think just having help.
Yeah.
Like just having help, when they say it takes a village to raise a kid, it is so true.
It's so true. I definitely agree with you. I think I have to learn really fast. I have to trust.
Oh.
I just have to trust that whoever's watching baby got it. Like, yeah. I need to finish. Like, I'm not going to half-ass my shower. I can't. Oh. I don't want to be dirty.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? So, I think, like, just learning to trust, like, okay, even though my mom is scared of holding the baby, I have to trust that she can do this. So, I can just go and take a shower real quick. I think that's super important. It's just that trust aspect. And then a lot of things was, like, I wish for self-care, I made more time to see my friends and family. Luckily, they came to see me. But even after and even now, I have a very difficult time saying yes and committing to anyone because I don't know what it's going to be like. My life is very crazy and I am on my baby schedule. And I think this is going to be my life for the next couple months or years.
And you have a new one coming.
Yes. And so that with that being said, I know like I'm going to be removed from group chats. And I think the first time that happened was for your batch. When you created a group chat so she could plan the batch. And I know it's like, for the considerancy of like, Jen can't come, so why would she have to deal with all these messages? But I think being removed hurts more. Not like in a bad way, but it's like, you obviously understand why you're not in the chat. You're not going to, like, so why would you
rather have stayed in the chat?
Yes, that's what I told Teresa for hers. I was like, don't remove me because I want to see the photos. I want to wish I was there. Okay. I mean, so I didn't have her batch. I'm going to go to that. Oh, wait, actually, I don't know.
Well, I was going to, like, combine Vegas as my birthday batch, but you said you don't want to go to Vegas.
But it's your birthday and batch. I'm just, I can't go because my due date.
Now it's your now there's a baby on the way. Oh, actually, I was thinking about doing a batch in town.
Okay.
Like, something very local.
Yeah.
Just like, or a, like a girl's getaway. Yeah. Just, that's it.
But I do think, like, you're going to be, you have to mentally prepare yourself and emotionally prepare yourself, like, your friends are going to remove you from chats because your response to going to events has decreased immensely due to your child. And you have to be prepared like, okay, I'm not going to be invited anymore. I wish I was still invited because it's like you lose the option. But no, they don't want to hear no and they don't want to feel bad. And I know I feel bad when I say no. So I get it. I definitely get it. But I do think that's something that you're not really prepared for when you're pregnant and after baby, I think.
Yeah. And if you have a people-pleasing mentality, saying no is like...
so hard.
It's so hard, but you just got to do it. That will be... saying no will become your best friend.
Yeah. Well, I always think like, you know, I'm at the dispense of my baby that is not self-sufficient.
Yeah.
That they need us. Like, they need us to survive, so I have to be there. They don't have anyone else. And with that being said, this, I guess this is the first part of our postpartum episode. I'm saying first part because there's just so much that we could talk about.
Yeah, and
like not enough time.
There's not enough time, but also we have, I don't think postpartum ends in 6 weeks.
Oh yeah, Wiki says that it ends in 6 weeks.
Yeah, no, it does not. Postpartum mm-hmm. can last like a year or so, like whatever. So I feel like we can make a part two, come back to it, see how it is the next couple more months.
Yeah, because Sore still at postpartum two. And we haven't even talked about what mom guilt is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, we touched it, but like, man, mom guilt is insane. I think it's endless crying because you just feel so bad.
So much crying.
So much crying. Yeah, I wasn't prepared for all the crying after baby because I was not crying during the pregnancy.
My cries were different.
Oh my gosh.
So we could touch on that.
Yeah, we could definitely touch on that. Okay, let us know what else you guys want to hear about. And thanks for listening, besties.
Okay, bye.
Bye.